Hi, this is Mark Wade, writer of Daredevil, and you're listening to Longbox Heroes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 380 of Longbox Heroes. I'm Todd, joined with Joe. How are we doing today, Joe?
I'm doing good because we're talking about comic books here, Todd. That's always a good thing whenever we're talking about the old comic book arenas and all sorts of various and sundry things related to such. Anything to help get my mind off whatever else is going on. And that's the service that we provide to you here as well. That's what a podcast should do. Help you have a little bit of escape from your day, whatever your day is.
So you're saying you like comics?
I like anything that gets my mind off other things.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So then would you like to know what's on the show this week, Joe?
Todd, there's nothing I would love more than to know what we're going to discuss on the show. Turn the page in the script.
Flip. We're going to be in news. We're going to be discussing pop-up comic shops. Also, a favorite creator gets a Marvel book of ours. Also, the inspiration from one of my all-time favorite comic book characters has passed away. And Marvel offers books, then takes them away again. Also,
that's so Marvel.
Oh, it's like Raven, but different. Also, con season is back. Joe's going to have plenty of cons to talk about.
That's right.
Free digital books and sales. What we read last week, which was Captain America 697 and Batman 38, and also a preview review book, Joe.
I think we talked about it. I'm not sure if it was on mic. I just assume everything I say is recorded anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That we're going to be more concerted about doing more preview review books, stuff that's coming out in the near future. And this episode is no different.
Mm. We're also going to have what we're looking forward to this week. I have an art attack and the mailbag. And also, we have a Marvel Puzzle Quest contest that involves me somehow, Joe.
Oh,
I can't
yes,
wait
it
to find
you
out
directly,
this.
Todd.
Oh, there's nothing more I like than when things involve me.
Mm-hmm. The more work Todd has to do, the better it is for Todd.
Mm-hmm.
Because nothing makes Todd more happy than A, not knowing the answer to your question, and B, more work.
Oh, can you make both of those happen?
I'm trying, Todd. I really
yes.
am.
Fantastic.
So let's get into it here with the top of the news. But before we do, of course, over the last 24 hours or so, we had mentioned that we were going to have Jeff Lemire on as a guest, writer of everything these days. I know he has the Terrifics coming out here from DC very soon. He does Royal City and Descender. He does Black Hammer. That's just what's currently being published. A couple books over Valiant, I think Bloodshot, if I'm not mistaken. He was going to be on a guest this episode, but unfortunately he had an illness and he had to reschedule for next week. So up front, if you're here for the Jeff Lemire interview, that's going to be next week. You know, patent pending, follow the Twitter, Longbox Heroes, for any sort of breaking news regarding that.
That's right. Modern day Chuck Dixon.
Oh, that's a good analogy. I was saying to my wife, you know, when we were talking about this, that Lemire is on that list of current creators for me. That he's a must buy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his name comes up to me. He's spoken in the same breath as your Jason Aarons, your Brian K. Vaughns, your Ed Brubakers. You know, to a lesser extent, your Bendises, where, you know, I'll dip my toe in the water a little bit more, but I'm definitely going to give their books a little bit more of a look, where when Lemire does something, it's like, oh, it's a Jeff Lemire book, put it on the list, and we'll go from there.
See, the downside to that, though, is he is like Chuck Dixon, is that he writes 92 books a month.
Yes.
So you're like, oh, there goes my wall. It's all Lemire's, or yes. Lemire books, so...
So the first news story that Todd had mentioned is that this weekend in Washington, D.C., DC Comics is doing a pop-up shop in front of the Newseum, which I don't know what that is.
I think it's like the, I don't know, it's a newsatorium. I don't know,
newsatorium,
something.
Right.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fully transportable, high-tech container space, 40 by 10 feet. It's going to have merchandise, charging stations, a free Jitters coffee bar.
That I like.
Interactive displays covering the history of DC Comics. You know, graphic novels. They're going to have, like, people from the Black Lightning TV show, as well as Tom King, Jim Lee, and Jeff Johns are going to be there.
Wow.
They're going to have, I mentioned the charging stations, they're going to have shirts that you can only get there, Funkos that you can only get there, et cetera, et cetera. But Todd, this is the two bones of contention that I have.
All right,
about this is on display the actual costumes worn by Grant Gustin and Melissa Benoist in their respective WB TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
No mention in here of any of the wigs, Todd.
No wigs, no tiny hats either.
No wigs, no tiny hats. You'd think you would lead with that.
Oh, can you imagine if we talked about if they had mobile tiny hat and wig work, you know, and this is their shot and they blew it.
Well, I think what they want to do is, like, let's start small with the outfits for the leads of our two most popular shows. If people care, then we'll bring out the big guns.
And by big, we mean tiny hats.
Tiny hats and terrible wigs.
Oh, but the beards, Joe. The beards.
But I think the other thing is this going to be a sign of things to come? Go ahead.
I don't think so. Do you mean like a mobile comic shop to sell stuff?
Well, yes and no. So obviously they're doing this space outdoors. Mm-hmm. If this goes well, who's to say that they can't just do this at a convention or even outside of a convention?
Well, I think what would be cool is for news type stuff, like that's not a convention.
Mm-hmm.
Though you haven't been at like New York. I don't know how San Diego is. Their floor space at New York is less and less compared to Marvel.
Right.
So I could see them maybe doing this at like New York Comic Con, which kind of makes me sad because I miss them having a big blocked off area at New York. But I see this more as like PR for stuff that's not a comic convention, like maybe like a movie premiere or stuff like that, like one day, a couple of hours, and you're good to go. But I really like the idea for right now, as long as it doesn't, you know, compete with comic shops, like, you know, that, like, as the kids say, brick and mortar. I don't think that would be good, but just for a one-time, you know, events, PR, stuff like that, I think it's great. And I love the Jitters idea, the coffee shop in it.
Well, the charging station is another good idea with that as well. But, you know, obviously there had been some stories over the last week or so about a lot of different comic book stores in some of the bigger cities, just off the top of my head, San Diego and Chicago being two of them, either seeing a big decrease in sales or having to shut down completely just due to not being able to make ends meet. Mm-hmm. And whether this has been, you know, long-standing stores or stores that have like, oh, things are going well, so we're going to open up another store across town, and then them having to shut that down. But is this going to be the wave of the future of how your bigger companies are going to get their stuff out?
I don't think it's the way of the future. I think this is a niche thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do I ever see another DC shop like Warner Brothers and like having themed stuff? Maybe. I remember when Marvel dipped their toe in years ago and they had their own distribution and they were going to do their Mighty Marvel stores in the comic shops.
Yeah, crazy. It was gonna be like the Disney stores of the mall.
Right, but that was back when the comic shops had all the power, because that was really the only way to get your comics. Now, like you said, comic shops are hurting, so I don't know. I think we would see local stores over that than we would like something like this, if I'm making any sense.
Yes, you are. So the other thing with this, of course, is you mentioned how this could be a test for something in the future. What I'm thinking is, why not have a deal where DC or Marvel, whoever, makes a deal with some sort of theater chain, right? Big or small, whoever it is, that whenever one of our movies comes out, we do something similar like this, obviously on a much smaller scale, in your lobby.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember when on Free Comic Book Day, like, you know, every weekend there's a comic book movie for Free Comic Book Day. That's the weekend that one of the Marvel movies always comes out. That our local retailer used to sell stuff at the Cinemark in the lobby. And that kind of went away because remember when it was special, you had one Marvel movie a year?
Right. You'd have one Marvel. Yeah. You'd have one comic book related movie a year. Yes.
Maybe two. You'd have a Marvel, maybe a DC one. But now
or
it's
like Hellboy would come out, you know?
Yeah. League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. But, now it's like, hey, here's our Fox X-Men movies. Here's our three Marvel movies. Here's our DC movie. And then here's our like peppered in independent movies.
Right.
So you'd go broke trying to do that. So maybe if everybody maybe if they share the revenue, like Marvel, DC and all the indies companies, like, all right, we'll just make one truck. And they'll just take the posters off it each week.
Right, but even on a much smaller scale, it could get to be too much to try to hit for every comic book movie. And of course, you know, your local retailer, I don't know how easy it would be for them to just grab in with AMC theaters or what have you. But there are smaller theaters, there are smaller, comic book stores. You know, they need to do that a little bit more often, I think. I don't know.
I think so, yeah.
Anyway, if you're in the DC area, check this out, take some pictures, send us some pictures, and if by chance they have wigs and hats there and they didn't advertise this, I'm going to pen a strongly worded letter to DC marketing.
That's right. I could just see, what if you get to try them on? The tiny hats and bad beards? Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I'm sure that would be under, like, heavily armed security, because they don't want people just running off with that, those prized possessions.
But if they had, like, wearable ones, like replicas of the replicas, that would be fantastic.
They should be selling those is what they should be doing.
Oh, my goodness. Get your McRory like an army hat and stuff like that. It's a little teeny one. Oh, I'd buy you the complete set, Joe.
Hey, do you want to look like McRory in an ill-fitting hat? Now you can.
Do you want the George Lucas beard and hair and wig? Realistic beard and hair.
Unbelievable.
But anyway.
So moving along in the news, it was announced that Marvel is going to be having a book come out. And, you know, we've talked about some of the books at Marvel that got canceled or whatever you want to say. But it was announced that there is going to be a Domino solo series. Domino, who's been aligned with the X-Men and Cable and more recently, whatever the X-Force or Weapon X type folks are these days. But the real thing about this is it's going to be written by Gail Simone. Gail Simone, who I'm surprised, and this is, you know, this is me. Everyone else was kind of like, it doesn't say who the artist on the book is, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe they don't have the artist yet. Who knows? And that's why they can't announce it. I think they should be leading with Gail Simone returns to Marvel Comics after 15 years.
Has it been 15 years?
Listen. I'm no piker who just spouts things off ridiculously without not researching them, Todd. The last thing that she did for Marvel was when they were doing... Remember when they had to change Deadpool 2 Weapon X? Because there was rumor that there was, like, rights issues?
Kind of.
Cable became Soldier X.
Oh, yeah, good times.
And X-Force became X-Statics.
You know what? I knew all this happened. Is that the reason?
Okay, well... There was, I don't know the reason why it happened, but there was speculation that those things, Deadpool, Cable, X-Force, were names that were created by Rob Liefeld, and they wanted to stop having to pay him.
Whoa.
And now that's the speculation part, but it was around that time when they changed, you know, Deadpool, Cable, X-Force to those other books, and that was in 2003. And that was the last thing that Gail did for Marvel.
Wow.
Yes. So, as I mentioned before, people like Jeff Lemire, Jason Aaron, Ed Brubaker, Brian K. Vaughan, Gail Simone is another one of those people. It's like, Gail Simone has a book coming out, put it on the list, and we'll get to it then. I don't know. I don't need to know the artist, and that may be a slight to the artist. I don't need to know the premise of the book. I don't need to know the publisher. Gail Simone has a book coming out. I'm getting it.
All I know is this character plays dominoes or eats pizza or something, and I'm all in because Gail's writing it.
What if, Todd?
What?
There was a bunch more X characters that came out in this book. Now, I don't know what the tone of this book is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But what if they do a gimmick where there's a bunch of mutant characters, like there's a Papa John, a Pizza Hut, what are some other terrible chain?
A Little Caesar.
Little Caesar, right, right. And Domino's like, what, is this some sort of joke? And then shoots them all.
That would be great.
Right. That's a free idea world, so you could have it.
That's right. I hope it's, you know, they get all them together, all those pizza characters, and it's like the Marvel Secret Six.
Yes.
But with pizza characters.
I would be okay with that.
She'd make it work somehow.
You get like you get one of the characters to be the bad Italian stereotype that's on the cover of every eighth pizza box.
That's right.
So Marvel, while Marvel giveth, Marvel also taketh awayeth.
Mm-hmm.
As we've discussed in the show, the recent Marvel Rebirth with the book, or the Marvel Legacy, listen to me, Marvel Rebirth, whoopsie, Marvel Legacy, where all the books went back to their original numbers, and they had the lenticular covers that didn't quite lenticulate the way you hoped they would.
What? The lenticulars are fantastical.
But many of the books, you had to reach crazy sales goals on other books, and we kind of went over some of these. It was like, if you buy, you know, 300 times issue 7 of Scarlet Witch, then you'll be able to get the lenticular cover for Spirits of Vengeance number 1. It's like, what? Mm. What's going on here?
Right.
So over the weekend, Marvel sent out an email to retailers saying that if you've already ordered a first or second print of the second issue of any of the Legacy relaunch books, you could order whatever and however many of the lenticular variants that you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great. I'm sure there were retailers that were very happy about that. And then I'm sure there were retailers that were very sad about this, that they had to wait so long. But, you know, this is kind of what Marvel does with any of their variant covers. After a certain amount of time, when they start building up in the warehouse, they always offer them to retailers at a discounted rate.
Can you imagine all the people who did 300 times the Scarlet Witch and now they could have ordered whatever they want?
Well, I think those people are going to be happy again.
Why?
Because the next day, Marvel sent out an email that said, the initially offered announcement in the mailer has been canceled. No orders have shipped or will ship from this promotion.
Oh. Lenticulagate.
Lenticulagate. So, I'm sure in a matter of days, they probably heard, you know, back from a lot of retailers about this. And I don't know, man. It just kind of shows a little bit of the short-sightedness with the way that Marvel is promoting their books. And it bums me out. You know, this is, if you're going to liberally borrow from what DC is doing, why take one thing where you're kind of doing a reboot of your characters and maybe some numbering things, but not offer those lenticular covers at a one-to-one ratio?
But see, Joe, when you're the number one company, you can do whatever you want.
Are you?
Yes, they are. They are still the number one company in comics. Let's not get into the who's the 10th and who's the 5th. But DC may sell, like, you know, the more shares for this. But Marvel's really the biggest company. And, Joe, have you ever seen an industry or an entertainment thing where they're the biggest and they do whatever they want? But still they thrive. That's the way it is with Marvel. I mean, they lose ground here and there, but until they get their butt kicked, they're going to do whatever they want. And they're going to think, we can do this, we can do that. And it doesn't matter. And it does hurt them. Each time hurts them. And when DC is neck and neck with them, they'll change their practices. That's my take on it anyway. I had a hot take there, Joe. Uh-oh, is Joe looking up sales numbers?
I'm not looking up sales numbers. Kind of, sort of.
You're looking up, you want to find a good pie chart that'll give you all the information you need.
Yeah, I do.
Pie charts are the best charts because they remind me of pie.
Right, and it's always one of those things, you know, because what it really comes down to at the end of the day is market share, right?
Yep.
And Marvel, as you mentioned, Marvel is still in the lead, but their lead is much smaller today than it was whenever, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, as I'm just looking back, because they only have the, you know, and again, it's not even whatever, right? It's just... I'm trying to think on how to word this. So they don't have December yet.
Right.
Okay, it's still too early. And they always have, it'll always say, oh, so-and-so has the market share, but so-and-so had X of the top 10 books, right?
Right.
So...
Which I think of the top 10 books is shaky, because DC has two... events going on where Marvel doesn't have any. You know what I mean? Like, and then show me when Marvel has their events going on and DC doesn't.
Perfect. I'm going to give you three sets of numbers, Todd.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you September, where Legacy number one came out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you October, where nothing really much was doing. And then I'm going to give you December, where Doomsday, or I'm going to give you, I'm sorry, September, October, November.
November was
when Doomsday Clock number one came out.
Okay.
So you got one where there was a big Marvel book, you got one where there was nothing, and then you got one where there was a big DC book.
Okay. Shoot.
Okay. So obviously there's market share by dollars and there's market share by units. You tell me what number you want.
Units, I guess. I don't know. Because units would seem like actual, more like comics and not like big items like statues or whatever.
Right. So units is actual physical items, right?
Mm-hmm. It broke Joe's brain.
No, I didn't. So for September, when Legacy came out, Marvel won with unit share. It was 38.1 to 36.6.
Ooh, that's close.
Okay. October. Nothing doing. Marvel has 38.6 to DC's 35.5.
Ooh, still close.
November, when Doomsday Clock comes out, Marvel still has top at 36.3, but DC has 34.
Wow, then Marvel doesn't have to worry about anything. They stay the same with whatever's going on.
Right, for now. And Marvel, like, DC's not seeing any sort of growth, but neither is Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a time where those numbers were not that close.
No, they weren't.
And when you're talking about a 3% difference on market share over the course of 3 months, you know, that could very easily... The tide can turn with one or two or three bad decisions on either side, and then it will be a lot of work to come back from that.
I don't know. Well, it's a tough, because like I said, I sit around and I listen to sales and stuff like that. I see what's selling. I don't know. I think Marvel's always going to be in the lead no matter what. That's just my take on it. It's going to have to take a monumentous shift in the industry to have DC beat Marvel, even though you're saying 2%. I know. I'd like to see other numbers because, like you said, you get into your units, you get into your how much money they make. I don't know if you know this. You can make statistics dance sometimes if you know what you're doing.
Right, of course.
So.
But I don't know. I just want comics to stick around.
I want comics to be good. That's what I want.
I want comics to be good as well. But comics are always good. It's up to you, the person who reads them, to, you know, filter in. If you're going out and purposely buying stuff just because you've always bought it and it's terrible and then you complain about it but keep buying it, that's on you.
It is. But it's different, though, because you're trying to keep a collection going. Because you could keep buying and not read it. That's the difference.
Then you're perpetuating the bad comics existing in the market.
Somebody, I will say this, somebody did, a higher up at DC, I was, no names will be used, a certain creator took me to a business dinner that he had with one of his bosses. And the, and I mentioned that I had a complete run of The Flash, and I would buy it, and he goes, and he looked at me, he goes, "You're what's wrong." And I was like, "What?" He goes, "How do we know if the books are good or bad if you're just going to buy them no matter what?" And I said, "Well, you're kind of right, but isn't that what you want? You want the books to sell no matter what?"
Right.
So we were stalemate, Joe. But no, I found that amusing. I was like, "I'm what's wrong with comics?"
You, I bet you this person says that to everyone who reads comic books, that you're the reason, you're part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy, if you said how much, if you just said how much money you spent and not what you spent them on, I don't think he would have said anything.
That's right. You know what? At the end of the year, I'll send him a note on what I spent.
Yes. So the last bit of news is a little bit of sad news, in light of everything. Cinnamon Hadley, the woman who was the inspiration for the look of death in the Sandman and Endless comic books, as drawn, I guess, in her original appearance by Mike Dringenberg?
Dringenberg, yes.
Right. She sadly has passed away. I guess she had a battle with cancer that took her over the weekend. And, you know, there's a lot of art out there, of course, of a lot of the posing that she did and how very close she was to the look, of course, and a nice little story about how kind of Neil and Mike came upon the look, and a little bit of a, not like a heated disagreement, but just like a friendly disagreement of how they wanted her to look, you know?
Right. So at one point it was they wanted her to look like Nico, the blonde, like I think from the, was it from the Bowie's band? I forget who it was. She was a supermodel slash singer. And then they went, no, they went with this look. And Cinnamon, the girl who they were based off of, there's like GIFs showing her dressed up as kind of like death back then. And I'm like, oh, my God, like you can't miss it. You know what I mean? It's not like it was a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You're fantastic. And like I said, I tweeted out a picture from World's End. And the, like the, where they talk about death, like the guy seeing death doing the funeral procession in the sky, and he talks about how just instantly you look at her and you could lose your heart to her. I'm like, if it's possible to fall in love with a comic book character, I may have fallen in love with death all those years ago. I'm just gonna say, I hope that's not too weird or anything, Joe.
No.
So, I found it sad when I found out that she had passed away.
Yes, yeah, so condolences to friends, families, fans, or otherwise of her.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to convention news. I'm glad conventions are back. Yay!
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the links to these will be in the show notes. I included this one in the list. It is one called MarsCon in Williamsburg, Virginia.
It's not on Mars?
That's the only reason I wanted to mention it.
Mm.
But there are three biggies happening this weekend, Todd.
Mm-hmm.
The Ace Comic Con is happening in Glendale, Arizona. Now, obviously, this is the former Wizard World people, and their whole thing was, it's like, oh, here's all these big name, you know, celebrity types, right? Your photo ops and all that sort of jazz. You've got Sebastian Stan and Chris Evans from your Captain America movies. You got Stan Lee, who, you know, whatever is going on with him these days. You got a bunch of people from the new Spider-Man movie. The young lady who played Liz Allen, the gentleman who played Ned, and of course Tom Holland are going to be there. All sorts of those people, but now we get into my favorite part, Todd, the wrestling folks.
Oh boy.
Eric Bischoff is going to be there. Don't everyone cheer at once. Hulk Hogan is going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Hart, Mouth of the South, is going to be there. I want to give all three of those people credit for using relatively current publicity photos for this. Sting is going to be there, a.k.a. Kabuki Crow. What was his name?
Kabuki. I don't know. Just I call him Kabuki Man. I don't know what it is. And he was the bassist in the Police.
Mm. Which is going to be difficult because he's also advertised for the Albuquerque Comic Con across town.
Same day? Maybe they have different hours.
No, same days.
Okay, well, but what time? Like, is the one con in the morning and the one con's at night? That could happen.
That's quite the commute for a gentleman of his advanced age.
I don't know.
But also at the Albuquerque con, Danny Trejo is going to be there.
I know who he is.
Right. Steve Englehart is going to be there.
Okay.
The great Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Connor are going to be there.
I like them.
And I don't know, like, Harley's brother is going to be there? Some guy, Peter Davidson? I don't know. Whatever.
Oh, Peter, I see what you did. He was with the Marlboro Man in that movie.
Oh, he was? Oh,
yeah, Peter Davidson and the Marlboro Man.
There's your bad 80s Doctor Who crossover.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man. But, Todd, I would have to say the biggie this weekend, Todd, is the Paradise City Comic Book Convention. Where is this taking place? I had it right here in front of me. I don't know. It's taking place somewhere. Oh, I'm terrible. I should do more work for this show.
You should. I should do less. I don't think that's possible.
It's happening in Miami, the greater Florida area.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of Mystery Science Theater type folk that are going to be there. Trace Ballou, Frank Conniff, Bill Corbett are going to be there. Jose Luis Garcia Lopez is going to be there. Phil Jimenez is going to be there. Dan Slott is going to be there. Joelle Jones, one of my favorite underrated artists, is going to be there. And, of course, we get into the media guests, Todd, which is always my favorite part. Mick Foley is going to be there.
I know his birthday.
Mm-hmm. Lloyd Kaufman is going to be there.
I don't know who that is.
The impresario of Troma Films.
Okay.
Both Rick and Scott, the Steiner brothers, are going to be there.
Oh, Big Papa Pump, the guy who writes... The guy who's writing metal.
He actually runs a Shoney's in the greater Ackworth, Georgia area.
Mm-hmm.
And Rick Steiner is on the school board for his kids' high school, the dog-faced gremlin.
As you say.
However, also appearing at this convention, Todd, are Eric Estrada.
No!
And Andy Dick.
That shouldn't be a problem at all.
I'm sure that'll go great.
Mm-hmm. He's never had any problems.
Mm-hmm. He's now, in part of his little gimmick that he's going to be there, it's advertising something with him and for his podcast. And again, of course, he has a podcast.
They'll give one to anybody.
Right.
Two sometimes.
So they just have it listed as like, oh, it's Andy and Dino's something or other, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, it looks to be a little difficult to find actual episodes of the podcast, but the guy who is his co-host with him is this guy, Dino Stamatopoulos, who is a very notorious, writer, comedian, actor, personality in, he's nuts. Like, he's Andy Dick crazy, but not with Andy Dick's cachet.
Oh, boy.
Right. So those two getting together, I can only imagine. I'm going to check out their podcast if I can get the links to work.
I hope they have a Facebook page.
Speaking of links that work, all the links to these conventions are going to be in the show notes for this episode. Remember about that with the show notes for this episode. It'll be important later.
Okay.
As will a link to all of the shows for the Soon to Be Named Network at soontobenamednetwork.com and soontobenamednetwork.tumblr.com. Anytime one of the shows go live or anytime anyone from the shows go on some other show, it'll be up on the site as long as I remember to put it up on the site. But that's, of course, this show, Longbox Heroes After Dark, Fresher in Parlance, Profane Argument, Puzzle Warriors 3, Podvocacy, and a slew of other shows, even other shows that some other members of the network might be kayfabing and not saying nothing about, but I'm on to you, Ultramantis Black and Jawreed Turnbuckles. And when I say this to you in this context, it's an insult.
Okay.
So yeah, longboxheroes.com. This will all be in the show notes. Soon-to-be-named-network.com. Soon-to-be-named-network.tumblr.com. Digital sales and freebies, Todd.
Mm-hmm.
Digital sales and freebies. Valiant is having a line-wide sale. Arcadia is having a line-wide sale. Abstract Studios is having a line-wide sale. Archie is having a sale on their graphic novels only, not single issues, sadly, but there's a ton of good stuff in there. Looks like it's 180-some-odd different trade paperbacks, so there's tons and tons of great stuff to peruse through with that. IDW is having a sale on G.I. Joe stuff. Dynamite is having a sale on James Bond stuff. Marvel is having a sale on Old Man Logan stuff, which is a very underrated title that I don't think gets a lot of talk for whatever reason. But you're missing out if you don't check it out. And I think it's probably to go along with the Old Man Hawkeye book that's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And then DC is having a sale on Flashpoint stuff. So do with that what you will. I will say this. The bulk of the sale appears to be Batman and Flash stuff. But there is at least one trade for some of the other big gun books that were released as part of this. I recommend checking out trades for the new 52 runs of things like All-Star Western, Animal Man, Swamp Thing, even that I, Vampire book that one of these days I'm going to get around to reading.
That was so good. That's my under the radar pick from the new 52.
Right. So all the new 52 trades, first trades of them, and then, you know, a little bit more Batman, a little bit more Flash.
Mm-hmm.
So again, show notes, all that information will be there. Todd, let's get into some of the stuff that we've read from this past week. I'll let you start first with Batman number 38.
That's right. Written by Tom King and art by Travis Moore, called The Origins of Bruce Wayne. Basically, this is a story of a young rich kid whose parents were killed, and Batman gets on the trail of the murder. And it's, as it goes, he starts following it. It's like takes it to Zaz. I'm pretty sure that's how you say his name. He has a weird saying name. The guy who cuts himself for every person he's murdered. And it takes him to like other murders, and he's trying to figure out who it is. And maybe it's not Zaz. Maybe it's something else. And while this is all going on, the little kid, you know, is with his butler, and he's talking about how he lost his parents, and he knows Bruce is seeing him as Bruce too. And he's like, I understand your pain and all that. And you're finding out that maybe things aren't exactly what they may be. Maybe the butler did it. Maybe he didn't. And as this is going on, the kid is being like, weirder and weirder, because he's having the butler calling him Master Bruce, because his life is kind of like Bruce Wayne's. And when we find out, when everything comes together at the end, it's really creepy, and this could be a new character, reoccurring character for Batman, or it could be a one-off. I don't know. Tom King could make either work, but I really enjoyed this issue. It wasn't the strongest of the recent Batman issues, but it's still like Tom. It's a triple. You know what I mean? It's really cool, and I want to see if he ends up doing anything with the character that he's created in this issue.
Right. So my only concern with this is when it was originally solicited, and I think even one of the two 50-50 covers has Wonder Woman on it,
mm-hmm.
and Wonder Woman is not in this book.
Right. If that storyline got pushed back, do you remember when the Swamp Thing story was there, and then they moved that a while back?
Yes, yes.
I think with these double ship, like these books are shipping twice a month, that they have stories that you can just plant in anywhere. And this is one of them, a la the Batman, Superman, you know, other than having it after Selina and Bruce get engaged, you could swap out short stories for longer stories. And I think this is one of those, maybe they got behind somewhere and they were just throw it in to as a filler, and people won't even notice. if that, you know what I'm trying to say?
I do. Like they used to do in the old days where, you know, early 70s into the early 80s, you know, all the way up to the early 80s, where I know this was more so the Marvel way than anything else. You know, just say a book like Spider-Man, Avengers, whatever it is. We have to have a book out every month. Mm-hmm. If the regular creator doesn't have the book ready, don't worry, we've got a drawer fill of issues ready to go, just to fill in, just so that we have a Spider-Man issue to put out this month.
But what I think is happening is it's a little different than that because these are the same writers. It's Tom King every time. Mm-hmm. I think what he does is he writes a couple of stories, and then they give them to multiple artists at the same time, and they'll...
It's a race to see who gets done first.
Right, and they'll bank one-shots. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, put it in the vault when we need it, when things get crazy and someone can't meet a deadline, we'll throw it in real quick, and then we'll push that storyline back that's coming up. Because Tom, who does like, fill-ins on certain books, he's talking about, like, oh, I did these books, and they come out, like, no rhyme or reason to where, like, it's like, oh, it'll be 2 months from now, or it'll be right now, you know what I mean, as soon as I handed it. So it's like they do these to just, you know, like I said, bank so someone who gets behind can have some breathing room.
Right, and I don't want to cause any confusion because we're talking about Tom King with the writing, and you're talking about our friend Tom DeRiddick.
Oh, yes, pronouns, pal.
That's
proper
right.
Nouns, pal.
You said it, not me.
I know.
Everyone keeping score at home. That was Todd brought up mm-hmm. a thing. Brother Love's going to be on the Raw 25th anniversary thing, so that's cool. Just want to mention it there. But I like this. It's not a new story, of course. There's always been the story of, you know, the parents dying at a young age. That would make anyone evil. But Batman, of course, because he's a better person, doesn't become evil. But what if there was someone who had the same exact origin as Batman, and they did become evil, and they did all the same stuff that Batman did? It's something that's been done a couple, two, three times before in the past. But in the hands of Tom King, I think this is something that could work.
Mm-hmm.
As, you know, whether it be a new character or a new wrinkle on this concept, after 30-some-plus issues, annuals notwithstanding, Tom King has kind of earned the trust, I think, of us on the show, but also many of the readers of this book. I was really pushing this book hard about a week or two ago to people, you know.
And as you're talking about tried and true, like, old, like, you know, reusing story ideas, as we're going to talk about Captain America by Mark Waid, who also gets the benefit of the doubt, is another story that I've seen 1,000 times,
mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, the most dangerous game story.
Right. So moving along, Captain America number 697, written by Mark Waid with art by Chris Somney. This is part 3 of the story that they're telling called Home of the Brave, where I hope when this gets released in trade, they change the title to Why Captain America is Awesome.
That would be a great trade name.
So, young lady is playing pool with Steve Rogers. Obviously, she knows that he's Captain America, gets the drop on him. It's a plan set up by Kraven. Kraven puts him, I don't want to say in an arcade-style death trap, but it's like, hey, you have to escape from this. You don't have your shield, and I'll let you go as long as this schlubby guy who I also trapped here makes it alive as well.
Mm-hmm.
And this was Mark Waid's telling of, here's how Captain America could get out of essentially any trap ever in the history of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it in 22 pages, and it was fantastic.
Yep.
I'm not sure how much more I could say about that other than, while this is the middle of a story arc, I think they're doing a very good job of telling these as kind of self-contained, one-off things. It's like, here's Captain America in this scenario. Here he is against the Swordsman. Here he is against Kraven. Here he is doing, you know, here he is doing this, where obviously altogether it's going to read great, but individually I think if you just went to your store and picked this up, or, you know, digitally, or however it is that you get your books, Captain America by Mark Waid and Chris Somney is great, and if the rumors are to be believed that they're going to be extending past whatever this one little 6-issue story arc is going to be, I got no problem with them being on this book for a long time, because it's really, really good.
Right, and I'm not going to say too much about the ending. But there is a thing, like, obviously they wrap up the Kraven story and something happens. And these this villainous group does the one thing that it seems that Captain America is absolutely terrified of. And I like it. He's like, anything but this kind of a deal. And they do it, and I want to see where the cliffhanger goes. I have to give Mark Waid credit for, like, you know, you take a character, like you said, that's amazing, Captain America, the Brave, he's the best, you know. But then there's like, yeah, there's one thing he might be terrified of, and this is it. And I'm like, all right, give me the next issue, please.
Yeah, and, you know, as Todd mentioned, it's a whole thing of, like, here we build him up as this unstoppable thing, and then we throw the thing at him that stops him. Tune in next month to find out how he gets out of this.
Right.
Oh, them Cap boys got themselves in another jam this time.
Oh, goo-goo-goo.
So the last book that we're going to discuss is our preview review book, and this is a book that does not come out until March.
Preview.
Yes, so we got a, you know, a little bit of a jump on this one, and of course we'll remind you as it gets a little bit closer to the actual release of the book, saying, hey, don't forget. I'm sure we'll mention it in, you know, pull post or pull list or whatever we end up naming it to. That would be from Image Comics, Gideon Falls, number one by Jeff Lemire, with art by Andrea Sorrentino, the team that did a good chunk of Old Man Logan at Marvel and the Green Arrow run during the tail end of the New 52 at DC. Now, we have to be spoiler-free with this, because it's a book that doesn't come out for another 2 months.
Right.
So, there's two stories that are going on concurrently to each other that very much seemingly have nothing to do with each other.
Right.
Young man is picking up garbage, talking to a psychiatrist. She's talking about having him committed. And then on the other side, there is a priest who has a past. We don't know what the past is. There's a lot of teasing of what it is. Right. But for some reason, he's pulled away to go to this town, Gideon Falls. To replace another priest.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what happened to him. Both of these stories, which seemingly take place, like, if I told you that the first story of the young man going and finding the rubble and everything else like that,
mm-hmm.
took place in, like, the future, or, like, an alternate world, I could be convinced of that.
Right. Well, you're not sure of any of it.
Right. It's unclear. But the two things that connect these is something called the Black Barn.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, both characters' reaction to the Black Barn is kind of what bridges these two stories. And this is kind of a horror mystery book that I get a lot of feeling of Outcast from.
Mm-hmm.
I get a lot of feeling of, you know, Lemire's other stuff that he's done in, you know, kind of character-driven stuff with Sweet Tooth, obviously a little bit darker than that. Royal City, a little bit more, you know, spooky than that. But yeah, this is a great book, and if it's a book that kind of builds up the suspense and gives you a good cliffhanger at the end of the book that makes you want to find out more of what's going on, there's a perfect book that does exactly that.
Right. And Andrea Sorrentino, like I said, I love his stuff from Green Arrow and Old Man Logan, and he's done some other, like, bits here and there. I'm still mad at him because he does most of his stuff digital, and I can't buy any of his beautiful art for my collection. So that will always be a sticking point between me and Sorrentino. But no, his stuff is gorgeous. You know what I mean? I've always been a big fan. So, and it's funny because usually everything that I've seen with Sorrentino looks a little different, but the coloring on this one is kind of has a definitely a colder, horrific feeling to it compared to the other stuff that he's done. And I really like the way that looks on this book. So I dig Sorrentino stuff.
Right, and if you head over to Image's YouTube page, you know, all their social media is kind of connected to this. They have a trailer up for this as well, which they've kind of been doing a little bit more for some of their new releases, some of their new trades and stuff like that. Just be like a little quick, like 20-30 second thing, just kind of like a visual preview with some creepy music and stuff like that. But yeah, I really, really dug this book. And again, we're not just saying that. More times than not, when it comes to a Jeff Lemire book, we're pretty much usually on board for it. And this book is no different.
Mm-hmm.
So again, preview review, what we read last week. Let's get into what we're looking forward to this week. If you head over to longboxheroes.com every Tuesday around 5:30 Eastern time or so, we put up the pull post, not the list, post. All the books that are coming out this week from every publisher, whether you get your books in print, whether you get them digitally, whether you get them sent to your house, whether you wait for the trade, however it is that you get your books, be forewarned and be forearmed and be ready. The two things that Todd and I are doing for the calendar year 2018 is, one, as always, guessing what the other is most looking forward to coming out this week, and also, two, keeping a running dollar amount of how much we've spent at the comic book store. I have a, what, one book lead, it looks like, now over you?
I guess so. I don't know. I'm not keeping track of that anymore.
Well, the little tally is there at the end, at the bottom of the list. So, Todd, you went first. You started the show, so you guess first.
Is the book you're looking forward to most Mr. Miracle number 6?
It is Mr. Miracle number 6. Yes, the DC book. No notable number ones on my list. And even though there is a notable number 1 or 2 jumping on points notwithstanding on your list, I'm going to guess that Mr. Miracle is also the book you're most looking forward to coming out.
It is not. It is Old Man Hawkeye.
Second guess. So now we're even, right?
Yes. Well, yes, because I lost last week. You won and I lost. And this week I won and you lost. Right. So we have to have the rubber match next week.
I was hoping to pull ahead here. But yeah, so I was on the fence about this, the Old Man Hawkeye book. So I'll be interested to hear your take on it next week on the show.
Okay. I hope it hits the bullseye.
Oh, boy. Now, I know it's only a 12-issue limited series, so keep that in mind with your comic buying whatevers.
That's right.
So while you're over at longboxheroes.com, be sure to check out all the other stuff that we have over there, whether it be past episodes of this show, past episodes of After Dark, past pull posts. Todd and Joe have issues. Remember that from last year? That old chestnut. You know, if you want to relive the past, you can do that. You can also click on our little store there and purchase a sticker or a shirt to your heart's content. If you purchase a shirt from us in the calendar year 2018, I will give you a phone call. And
thank you
personally.
Ooh,
wasn't maybe. I giving someone else grief for liberally borrowing what might be one of our ideas, and that's all we do on the show?
We don't borrow ideas. We take them and make them better.
Oh, my goodness. So if you don't want a shirt, you don't want a sticker, you don't want a phone call from me, not that I blame you, you could purchase anything in the world, pretty much, through our Amazon click-through link. It does not cost you a nickel more, but we get a little bit of a kickback for anything that you purchase. Some of the notable purchases over the last week have been 18 Hoover Wind Tunnel Upright Type Y Vacuum Bags. Someone purchased both the Saxon Math 7 and 6, I'm guessing that's like 7th or 6th grade, homeschool editions of both tests and worksheets and the solution manual.
You gotta have the solution manual.
I'm guessing that was the same person. Imagine this, it was two separate people who purchased this, and in a When Harry Met Sally sort of thing, they have to come together to share the solutions with the tests and worksheets, and therefore also fall in love.
On top of the Empire State Building?
Sure, or whatever large monument you have in your specific area.
A statue of Christopher Columbus.
Mm-hmm. And also someone purchased a Star Wars Rogue One Rapid Fire Imperial AT-ACT. I don't know what the difference between that is. I think that's
one
just
letter.
Yeah, just an extra letter in there, so you have to have that one with your collection as well.
That's
either
right.
Way, anyone who made a purchase through our Amazon click-through or did not get their purchase mentioned, we do thank you greatly because it does help us at the end of the month. I'm not going to say for server costs or bandwidth or anything else like that. I just like getting a couple bucks at the end of the month.
It goes towards my counterfeit art collection.
Right. Whether buying it or making it. Either way.
That's right.
So Todd, was there any art attacks this week?
Yes, Euronymous sent in a local artist, hashtag local artist joke, because I got to be, named Lydia Burris, which is a beautiful piece, which looks like it's actually done on the page of a book. And I really like the way it's set up. It's hard to explain. It's one of those, and I'm not doing this to just drive traffic to my world-famous Twitter account. it's something you have to actually see to understand what I'm talking, because I can't really describe it, to tell you the truth. But I really like what they did. I think it's beautiful. So it's a really cool piece of artwork.
Yep, I'm looking at that as well. That's very ingenious. I like the color work. Done with it, and that's really cool, you know, to have as part of your collection. So thank you again, Euronymous, for contributing to the art attack seemingly each and every week.
Yes. Got lots of arts.
Lots of arts. Now, one more thing that you can do for a limited time only over at longboxheroes.com, and that would be until next week's episode, which is we're having a contest, folks. As Todd mentioned at the top of the show, the good people at D3 Publishing, the people who make the game Marvel Puzzle Quest, a game that I've talked about quite a bit on the show here, have decided to offer up to our listeners a little bit of a prize in-game. And that prize is a cover for the newly released character, not even out as of the recording or release of this, and that would be a 4-star Kraven the Hunter. Along with the appropriate amount of hero points in-game currency to roster said character onto your team. Now, how do you win this fabulous prize, may you ask? Well,
how do you?
In the show notes for this episode 380, or by sending us an email at longboxheroes@gmail.com, give us your best pitch to convince Todd to play Marvel Puzzle Quest.
Me play Marvel Puzzle Quest?
So, when you include the information, one, I wanted to say, in the comment or in the email, make sure that you include your in-game name, case-sensitive as well, because the game is a little touchy in that respect. And please, only one entry per person. You know, you have 15 ideas, don't send 15 emails. You know, put 15 ideas in one email, and if they're all good, you know, because Todd's going to be the one making the choice on this.
I'm making the choice on this?
You certainly are.
Oh, wow.
And there's going to be a prize that goes to 3 different winners. Well, you're the one. You know, you're going to be like, okay, whether or not, you know, obviously, if we get you to play, that's a plus. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be, you're going to read all these, and you're going to be the one who says, okay, this is a compelling argument. Like, what were the 3 most compelling arguments?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can't win, but I'm going to... Here's my pitch to Todd.
Okay.
Todd, there's nobody who likes bad puns more than you.
That's right.
Okay. So, whenever they have a character, and they have the little tournament event for the character, they always name the thing. They don't just say, oh, it's the Spider-Man event. They call it, like, the Webbed Wonder event.
Mm-hmm.
Or... You know, I'm trying to think some of the other ones that are not so clever, as it were. You know, like Captain America's First Avenger. And then they get a little bit more, you know, clever when you get into people like Cyclops, let's say. Where it's, it's eye for an eye.
I get that one.
Okay, so I'm going to give to you a couple of the names. Or I'm going to give you some of the characters in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see if you can guess what the name of their thing... Well, I'll give you the character, or I'll give you the event name to see if you can guess who it is.
Right.
Like this one's a little bit, you know, whatever. There was one for Gamora that was called Sworded Affair.
Okay.
Sworded
Affair. Oh, Sworded Affair.
Sworded Affair. Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
The one for Beast is called The Real McCoy.
I like that one.
Right, right. Okay, so this is how we're doing this. Mm-hmm. So, what would the one for Mockingbird be called?
Mockingbird, don't sing.
No. Morse Code.
Ah, okay.
See, going by her shoot name there. What character's event would be called Vicious Cycle?
Ghost Rider.
Ah, there you go. Ding, ding, ding. Lockjaws would be called...
The Dog Days.
Inhuman's Best Friend.
Oh!
The Punishers would be called...
Kill Them All and Let God Sort Them Out.
Let's Be Frank.
Oh, I like that.
Right? Okay. Medusas would be called...
A hair raising.
Very close. It's called Big Bang's Theory.
Oh, I like that. That's my favorite so far. You actually made something in humans my favorite.
Wait.
Okay.
What is the name of the event for the upcoming Kraven battle?
I don't know.
It would be called if there was like if Kraven was just always there.
When I read this,
I died.
Right? Okay.
Because the name of the event is Constant Kraven.
Oh God. Constant Kraven. That's terrible.
I'm very eager for Craig over on Puzzle Warriors 3 to sing Constant Kraven when they talk about this event later this week.
Oh boy.
So that's my pitch to Todd. A bunch of the names of the events are bad puns, Todd.
Oh, I can deal with bad puns.
All right. So, I hope your pitch is better than mine. Leave it in the comments of this episode, episode 380. You know, we're going to do a good job of trying to get this out to as many social media people as we possibly can. And it's a fine line that we're going to walk here with this. You know, obviously, people are going to tell other people. It's like, hey, here's this podcast. Yeah. Don't listen to it. Just go and do this.
Right.
But I don't know, tell them, like, hey, listen to the podcast. Even if you want to say it's around the X mark to go fast forward to, like, wherever it is in the show. You know, just to try to help, you know, build a little bit more awareness of the podcast, you know?
Here, tell them download it, then delete it.
There you go.
That's all we want. We want those padded numbers for when we get those sponsors. That's what we want.
Right. So, just again, real quick to... run through the rules of this, either email us at longboxheroes@gmail.com or leave a comment on this episode post number 380. It should be the very first thing on the website when you go to it. Give your pitch to try to convince Todd to play Marvel Puzzle Quest, one entry per person, and please include in the body of the message your in-game name, case sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to announce the winner next week, so... You know, around like 8 o'clock Eastern time next week, the 16th of January is when that's going to cut off, and then we're going to pick three winners.
Yep. Those in-game names are Case Fabe, right?
Right.
Because they're case fabe. Sensitive, yep.
Mayan stuck as LF Chikara.
Oh, God. That's you forever.
Unfortunately, that's the only place where I've been unable to scrub that from the world.
Ugh, that might be a way to get me to play.
Well, I don't know, Todd, we're in a pretty competitive alliance.
That's right. What'd you say?
I said, I don't know, we're in a pretty competitive alliance. I don't know if we're going to have a noob come in on our alliance.
Oh.
Oh, I kid. I'll bump everyone for you. So
I don't do bumps, Joe.
No, you don't?
No.
Doot, doot, doot.
What?
A doot, doot, doot?
Oh.
What are you going to carry your pills in? What?
God.
Anyway. Unfortunately, no movie or TV talk due to some unforeseen circumstances. I didn't get a chance to really hunker down and watch any of The Punisher this week. Mm-hmm. But we do have a contribution to the mailbag.
We do have a mailbaggie.
Yes. So Ron Sklodowski, winner of the 2017-18 Pigskin Pick'ems for Longbox Heroes, sent us in an email, and I'm just going to kind of cherry pick through the email he sent us. So Ron, send us your address, and we'll send you some sort of prize pack. All stickers, no pins. I'll say that.
What?
Yes. He mentioned that because of a recommendation, he tried Quantum and Woody. He's never read Quantum and Woody before, and he really enjoyed it. He also asked Todd for any suggestion for older Doctor Who episodes. said that his first episode was The Snowman, and he was hooked after that. He went back and watched all the new Doctor Who episodes, but he wants to give some older episodes a chance. So, Todd?
I would go with City of Death, which was written by the guy who wrote the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, but it was under an assumed name. But that's a really fun Fourth Doctor episode.
He also thanks me for hooking him up with one of our alliances for the Marvel Puzzle Quest group, and hey, maybe Ron can be a double winner if his suggestion is good enough, and get that Kraven cover and the 1,000 hero points. But he'd also asked about any recommendations for other comics. He had said he wants to pick up Preachers based on how much we talked about it. He said he's about 5 trades into Invincible, and he got sidetracked. He started reading just a few years ago, starting with Superior Spider-Man, which is a good place to start. And he's got a stack of trades and single issues to get caught up on. Don't I know what that's like?
I don't. I'm through everything, Joe.
You have nothing to read?
I have no new stuff. I have one issue I bought, a back issue I found that I needed to read.
You do not know how jealous I am of that.
I might actually go start rereading whole runs of old comics that I have in my collection just because there's nothing new here to read at my house.
Mm-hmm. I'm even more jealous of that. I remember the days when I would just read stuff that I've read multiple times before because I had nothing else to read.
I remember once when you were so mad at me, because remember back when we used to do, like, this was the, like, where we used to put the Todd and Joe have issues and now we're doing the mailbag. It was the best blank.
Right.
And it was, what is the best Garth Ennis? You know, he's talking about Preacher. And it was like, what's the best Garth Ennis whatever? And I was like, oh, man, it's a toss-up between Hellblazer, Preacher, and Hitman. And I don't know. So when the episode came out, and you're like, what one was you? Well, I sat down and I read his entire Preacher run. Then I sat down and read his entire Hitman run. And then I sat down and I read his entire Hellblazer run. And this is the order. And you were so mad. You were like, that you have the kind of time that you can reread all of those comics. That was a lot of reading.
That's true.
Right.
So, Ron, what I would suggest to you is, if you have a bunch of stuff that's backed up, that's what I would recommend first. I don't want to recommend more to add to the pile. I don't want to be that guy.
And you know what? In that, too, is, you know what I hate? Is I like when people tell me to read something, or give me, you know, some things that I should read. But when there's too much, it feels like work. You know what I mean? Where you have all this backed up, you just add more, maybe it will actually dissuade you from reading. Where you have a lot of stuff, pick something that you think you'll enjoy and try, and that usually kickstarts you into reading more.
Right. I'll say this. You know, you said you start reading some Invincible stuff, you start reading some Superior Spider-Man stuff. This is a perfect opportunity for you to organize that stack of trades and single issues and see what jumps out at you. Maybe it might be the thing that you have the most of. Maybe mm-hmm. it might be the thing that just, like, you've seen, like, you pulled, like, 3 or 4 covers in a row, and you're like, I need to know what's going on in this issue, or whatever.
Or if you want to, you know, and if you get overwhelmed with that, like Joe said, organize all the stuff that you have in trades and stuff, and then send us another email what you have, and we'll take a look, and we'll be like, that's out of this, this is what you want to
read. Yep. Again, I feel bad if you're saying that you have a stack of stuff to go through to say, like, oh, yeah, here's 6 more books to add to the stack. Good luck.
Yep. I agree.
But thank you. And that's the thing. Now I know not to send Ron books as part of his prize pack for winning the Pigskin Pick'ems.
That is true.
That's just more stickers in the bag is all.
Oh, God, it's just sticker bag. That's like the worst bag in the world, is sticker bag.
Yeah.
I'd rather have a bag with something else in it.
What's in the bag, Todd?
A snake.
Oh, that's it? Just a snake? Nothing else?
Just nothing else.
Not a coffee can with nothing else in it?
No Spectrox in here?
Nope. Oh, boy. All right. A little bit of a shorter episode, but, you know, plans change, as they say in the business.
Listen.
What?
Plans don't change. People change them.
All right. I think we covered everything. I didn't forget anything, right?
No, I think we nailed everything.
All right. So again, everyone, thank you for listening to episode 380 of Longbox Heroes. For Todd, this is Joe. We'll catch y'all here next week.
Remember, be a faucet, not a drain.